Broadcasting from Cradio HQ, this is The Rush Hour with Jason Rushton.
Hello and welcome to The Rush Hour. This is your current affairs update for Friday, the 3rd of December. Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world, according to the 2010 report on religious freedom in the world published by Aid to the Church in Need. According to the report, there are at least 200 million Christians suffering from discrimination around the world. It says that in 21 of the 194 countries studied, there is almost no religious freedom, and that worldwide, out of every 10 people, 7 cannot live their faith in full freedom. Two types of religious persecution, one by state policy and one by members of other religions, are identified in the report. Peter Sefton-Williams, chairman of Aid to the Church in Need, commented that the report identifies government-sanctioned persecution in many parts of the world, but particularly Asia.
Political oppression, discrimination, comes from places like China, from Cuba, from North Korea, partly from places like Vietnam.
The persecution that comes from other religions is particularly acute in some countries with a Muslim majority.
Places like Saudi Arabia, where it's impossible for any Christian or indeed any other group, non-Muslim group, to organize and to have open public prayer. We think of places like Somalia, or we think of the Sudan.
In Pakistan, the use of blasphemy law against religious minorities, especially against Christians, was denounced by Monsignor Joseph Coutts, the vice president of the Catholic Episcopal Conference of Pakistan.
We want to have our equality and all our rights as equal citizens of Pakistan. We are not against our country. We want to stay in the country. We are not leaving the country.
Noting the worsening situation of Christians in his country, he particularly criticized the blasphemy law, which invokes punishments as severe as the death penalty to anyone who speaks out against the Quran or the Prophet Muhammad. Although the Pakistani government has not so far executed anyone for blasphemy, some defendants have been killed by radicals acting on their own initiative. Auxiliary Bishop Sebastian Shaw of Lahore wrote a letter in her defense, which he presented personally at the Vatican. In response, Pope Benedict XVI made a public statement appealing on Asia's behalf. The ACN report also reveals that religious freedom has declined in the United States and Europe by the radicalization of secularism. Spain is cited for its prohibition of religious symbols in public places, while France and Germany are mentioned for discrimination against their position on family issues and defense of life. Overall, the study has shown that religious freedom has declined worldwide and that this right is under greater threat today than it was 2 years ago. Pope Benedict has dedicated his weekly general audience to Julian of Norwich. It's now the 12th woman he has dedicated an audience to since September. He's also spoken recently about other great mystics such as St. Hildegard of Bingen, St. Clare of Assisi, and St. Elizabeth of Hungary. Here is the part of his address that he gave in English on Wednesday in Rome.
Dear brothers and sisters, our catechesis today deals with Julian of Norwich, an English mystic and anchoress of the late 13th and early 14th centuries. Julian is best known for her book, Revelations of Divine Love, which recounts 16 visions or showings which she received during a grave illness. The revelations are centered on the love of Christ. In Julian's own words, love is our Lord's meaning. They exude an optimism grounded in the certainty that we are loved by God and protected by his providence. As Julian says, in speaking of God's power to bring good out of evil, all will be well and every kind of thing will be well. Julian's mysticism echoes the prophet Isaiah in using the imagery of a mother's love to describe the affectionate care which God shows for his children, culminating in the incarnation of his son and the fulfillment of his promises. Like so many holy women in every age, in spite of her withdrawal from the world, Julian became a much-sought spiritual guide. In our own lives, may we draw profit from her teaching that God is the love which transforms our lives, bringing joy and peace to our hearts and through us to those all around us. I extend a warm welcome to the many student groups present at today's audience. Upon all things speaking visitors, especially those from Malaysia, Australia, and the United States of America, I call to invoke an abundance of joy and peace in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
The traditional Concert for Life and Peace will celebrate its 10th anniversary this year. The concert is scheduled to be performed on the 21st of December in Bethlehem and the next day in Jerusalem. This report from H2O News features the voices of Rino Mainzer, the producer of the concert, and Alfredo Cavallari, author and television director.
This Christmas, the 10th Concert for Life and Peace from Bethlehem and Jerusalem will take place, an event that's become a strong testimony to solidarity and friendship with the peoples of the Holy Land. It's a project that brings everyone together.
È stata di alcuni sindaci italiani con il sindaco di Bethlehem.
The idea came from Italian mayors, the mayor of Bethlehem and myself, when we met in Rome in 2001. We discussed what could be done to help the Holy Land. So we said that the only thing we can do, that which is in our hands, is to organize a concert using the language of music.
L'unica iniziativa che noi possiamo fare, che nelle nostre mani, è quella di organizzare un concerto usando il linguaggio della musica.
Rino Mainzer stressed that music is a universal language, which enables one to more easily talk about peace. The artists represent some of the most important Italian musical institutions. There are soloists, singers, musicians, together with a notable presence of Israeli and Palestinian singers. This year we will have the Great Italian Youth Orchestra, one that performs concerts with Riccardo Muti Abbado. The program of the 10th Christmas Concert for Life and Peace begins in Greccio on December the 19th. It then moves to Bethlehem on the 21st, a performance which has become a major televisual event that's broadcast worldwide. Then on December the 22nd, the choir and musicians will perform in Jerusalem at the important Binyan Nehauma Auditorium. We've worked in very difficult circumstances in this land, under fire, during the Intifada, with great difficulty. But the fact that we were able to move forward for 10 years without an interruption means this is a beautiful thing, and we want to continue doing it.
Thanks for listening to today's program. We'll be with you again next week. Have a great weekend, and God bless.